It's Thursday, April 9th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. In this time of coronavirus, telemedicine is having a moment. It was once a hard sell to get people to see a doctor over the phone or a computer screen, but now some companies can't keep up with demand. Wait times have increased on some of these services, and it is leading for them to hire more doctors to help you quicker. Parmi Olson, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, joins us for the rise of telemedicine. Thanks for joining us, Parmi.
My pleasure.
One of the interesting things to note is all the other businesses that are doing well or kind of growing amid this whole coronavirus pandemic that we're dealing with. And one of the things that has seen an uptick is telemedicine. Obviously, the president has been mentioning it. They've expanded capacity, things like that. But there's a lot of companies that are doing it right now. Teladoc, Health Inc., Doctors on Demand, and they're ramping up. They need a lot more doctors, and they're also expanding the services that they provide. Parmi, tell us a little bit about that.
So just as you described, these companies are ramping up their services. They have to, because all of a sudden, they are in so much demand. I mean, this was previously kind of a niche business. Very small minority of Americans actually use telehealth based on some of the surveys we've looked at, usually a single digit percentage. That number has now grown, of course, because people are being encouraged to stay away from doctors' clinics. But previously, these kinds of services weren't particularly popular. And now that the advice is to try and stay away from these physical locations, and with a loosening of regulations around whether other video calling services can be used by doctors, people are increasingly looking to their phones, looking to their laptops to have a consultation with the doctor. This is becoming much more popular now.
Yeah, and you're talking about the increase in the ramping up of this. In China, where this whole pandemic got started, the officials are saying basically that they think that this has sped up the shift by Chinese consumers to telemedicine by 5 years. This is how much it's grown in such a slow amount of time. Obviously, in the United States, a little slower to embrace there, but who knows what happens after this?
I mean, in China, telemedicine was already more popular probably than it is in Europe, where I'm based in the UK, and also in the US, just for example, JD Health, which is a division of JD.com, that's a Chinese e-commerce giant, which also has this telemedicine business, has been going for a couple of years. They've got hundreds of doctors and they've had millions of consultations with people. And of course, that has ramped up in the COVID crisis. And now actually they've got this service that the virus is kind of waning over there in China. The latest thing that they've come out with is making their doctors available to Chinese speakers outside of China. So kind of these different services are trying to innovate on the fly. They have to work very quickly, building out new services, hiring hundreds and hundreds of doctors who can work part-time from their homes to continue to have consultations with people.
In the meantime, you know, the demand is so high right now. A lot of these companies are experiencing some pretty big wait times. You spoke to a person who said she waited 22 hours to hold a video call with a doctor.
That's right. There was one lady I spoke to a few different people who went through this. And one lady in Dallas, Texas, had to wait for 22 hours. She had actually been in hospital previously with pneumonia. It was actually suspected COVID-19. And she wanted to get some fluid for her nebulizer, but she didn't want to go to an emergency room or to a clinic, because that's not really what you're supposed to do, to try and pick up your prescription. So she thought, I'll try and talk to a virtual doctor. But of course, she goes to two different services and they're just completely inundated. The first one, she was on hold for 22 hours. And then she talked to her insurer, and her insurer actually suggested another service, which she tried, but she couldn't even register with this other service, which is a very well-known service, and their online waiting room was full. And it was only because she thinks that she kind of brought it up on Twitter that eventually someone from one of these companies was able to get a consultation. But there were a lot of people actually on Twitter who were complaining about not even being able to get through to these services.
I have not been able to try one of these just yet, but these doctors can do everything. They can provide prescriptions. They can direct you to a COVID-19 testing site if they need to.
I think it's kind of different with different services, but generally what they would do is primary care. So the same thing that your family doctor would be able to do, which is assess you, ask you questions, hear your answers, and kind of get an idea of a potential diagnosis or fill out a new prescription for you to go to the pharmacy. So when it comes to the secondary care, if you need to see a specialist or you need to get an x-ray, obviously that's something that you would need to go to a clinic or a hospital to do. But for actually a lot of the visits we go to the doctor for, the idea is that you don't really, in theory, need to be there in person. You could just get a lot of that done over the phone or through a video call.
One of the interesting things I noted in your article, too, is that for the doctors themselves that might be looking for work or other avenues, these companies are recruiting doctors who work in some non-essential areas right now, such as allergies, other specialized medicines, departments that could be shut down right now in some hospitals because of the influx of patients with COVID-19.
You can imagine those probably aren't the only types of services that are deemed non-essential. There would also be things like cosmetic surgery, that sort of thing. You know, a lot of these kinds of doctors just can't really practice right now, but if they are qualified to give primary care, then they can sign up with some of these companies and they would upload their credentials. And I heard from one of these companies as well that they were speeding up the process. It normally takes a few weeks to validate the credentials of a doctor and get them on the system. They've now brought that down to days because the demand is so high to bring these hundreds, even thousands of doctors onto this system. And these are doctors, as you mentioned, they work in allergy, they work in departments that are shut down, or they might just be home self-isolating because they've got a cough or they've got a cold and they haven't been tested, or maybe they've had the virus. And so they've got to be quarantined for a couple of weeks. And so they might as well use that time to see patients.
It'll be interesting to see the staying power of this. Right now, it's obviously we're doing it out of necessity, but I think a lot of people like to go see. If you're going to see the doctor, you want to see somebody in person. But this is a great alternative in the meantime. But yeah, I'd be curious to see the staying power of this after this is all done.
I think a lot of these telemedicine companies see this as an incredible opportunity. The spotlight is suddenly on them. The world suddenly needs them. And they are right now truly stepping up. They are bringing on all these doctors. They've got these new features that some of them are bringing out. But at the same time, the Trump administration recently relaxed some of these privacy rules so that doctors can now also have a consultation with you over FaceTime or over Skype. And I spoke to one consultant who said, yes, this is all great for telemedicine, but actually some doctors are just kind of going to what they know, which is these apps on their phone, like Skype or like FaceTime or Google Hangouts. So in a way, while there is great demand for these telemedicine services, there's also great competition coming in from these other big tech companies like Google and Microsoft, who kind of everybody knows and doctors know and are very comfortable with. So it's a big question whether some of these companies will be sustainable as businesses, but I think we can probably say with confidence that this experience, generally speaking, will make people more confident with talking to a doctor over the phone rather than having to go see them in person.
Parmi Olson, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.